person. Achein, however, mashma mid-devarov, if you take a look at the Magen Avraham in its original, you will see the ein la-achmir b'zeh rak b'sadin shel tzemer. The only time that you have to go ahead and worry about the chumras of whether a cover, a bed cover, should have tzitzis and therefore go ahead and round off one corner is if the sadin, if the cover is shel tzemer, if it is made out of wool. Avalobi shel pishton, not if it's made out of flax, or she'ar minim, or some other kind of substance. Vayena tam, if you want to see further the difference between tzemer, wool on the one hand, and pishton, b'shel pishton, whether it's flax or anything else, so ayein hata'am b'pri megodim. You can go ahead and see the pri megodim, which is a perish on the Shulchan Aruch's perish of the Magen Avraham, which in Yitzhak Hashem we will see in the second time that we take care of this. We will have to investigate the original sources, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, and I will also, Mir Hashem, include the Prima Gavi. We go back to the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha Gimel, Seif Gimel. The question, what is the earliest time that I start making a bracha on tzitzis in the morning? Answers the Shulchan Aruch the way the Gemara talks. The way the Mishnah talks in brachos, Mishiyakir ben tchelet shabbat lelavon shabbat. When you are capable of distinguishing the tchelet cord or string within the tzitzis from the lavon, from all the other tzitzis, the strings that are white.
Is tchelet or is not lavon?
As tchelet or is not lavon? What do you? That, you know, that's a sophisticated question over there. I know that when I see blue and white, I see blue and I see white.
And it starts to get light out. You can tell the difference between, you can say these are different colors.
That's all I need.
Okay, so
that's all I need.
Not white.
That's all I need. Okay, I hear what you're, that's what you're saying, that it has to be a true representation of what the real colors are.
Or just that you can tell that they're different colors.
Probably that you can tell that they're different colors. Okay? Now, says the
Mishiyakir
Beit Cheles. Yeah, Beit Cheles Sheba. You see that the one that Cheles within it is a different hue and color than the Lavan Sheba. Is it the true Cheles that you would see on the bright light? I don't know that we have to require that yet. Okay, but once you see the difference in the colors, then you can go ahead and see it.
You probably can't require that because it's a cloudy day. You might never see it.
Mm-hmm. But difference you'll be able to tell.
Yeah, cool.
And that's what they want. Now, says the Ramah, the im lavsho, if you put on the tzitzis me'alos ha'shachar, from dawn, va'elach, and thereafter, which is a time that is before the mishayakir ben tchela sheba lelavon sheba, because alos ha'shachar, it's still dark. Is yesh omrin, there are those who hold to mevarech alav, that nonetheless you say a bracha on it, even though you haven't reached the point of mishayakir, v'chein noagin, and this is our minhag. We'll see what the story is in the Mishnah Berurah. V'im lavshal kodem lachein, but if it was before alos hashachar, example, when you daven kegon bislichos, when you get up in slichos and you start slichos even before amud hashachar, then when you put it on to slichos is lo yivarech alav. At that point, you don't say the bracha, you do wear the tzitzis, and later on in the davening, kishiyair hayom, when day will break, is your mashmeshbo, you touch the tzitzis, and you, with touching the tzitzis, you go ahead and yivorech, and you say the bracha.
So when you put on so day's surface time,
mm-hmm.
You put on your tzitzis home without a bracha,
right.
It comes to be 6:15, it's time to toss, you finish the tzitzis, it's time to toss the film.
Mm-hmm.
When you put your talis on, you say only plus tzitzis, and then lisatei tzitzis. You say
okay.
Both. You don't say one.
You would only say one.
Which one?
Lisatei tzitzis. Okay. You would say lisatei tzitzis.
This is tashban.
Tashbats. Big shaylas and chuvas. Gigantic shaylas and chuvas. One of the achran. Rav Shimon ben Tzelach. Let's go and finish off in the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah.
In response to Lorne, as I understand it, I read this some time ago, You put on the kalas kaplan in the morning, you say al mitzvah tzitzis. Then you go to shul and you put on the big kalas, you say lekatef tzitzis. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you're going to daven at home, I don't make the bracha al mitzvah tzitzit. I only make the bracha lehitatef tzitzit. And I think that, if I'm correct, then that explains your answer when you said, well, which bracha do you make?
Yeah, this is not a problem in Zman, by the way. Okay? This is a problem in the nature of, in determining the nature and the function of the Talis Katan. Once we determine the nature and the function of the Talis Katan, then we can worry about what the bracha, you know, what's going to happen with the bracha over there. This should be signaled to you very clearly by the fact that there exists two different brachos. One, as you said, al mitzvah tzitzis, and the other one, mitzvah teifa tzitzis. Okay? And we can do this as we get to all the sources. Try to look at it and see if we can clarify them from the Mishnah Berurah. Let's finish off with the last bit of Mishnah Berurah. Tes. He used the time terminology, and we will see it on our railroad chart of 18 different times. Time. In this se'if he used Misha Yakir, mm-hmm. and he also used Alos Hashachar. Excuse me. Misha Yakir is V'hu Hazman the Misha Yir'es Havero HaRagil Imo Ktsas B'Richuk Dalet Amos V'Yakirenu. It is a time that you are able to walk on the street. It is yet dark. It isn't fully light, but nonetheless there is enough light that if you see someone with whom you are familiar, chavero haragil imo tzas, there need not be a kind of intimate relationship over here where you know how the person walks, you know exactly what his hat looks like, you know his coat from a mile away, but ragil imo tzas, you are familiar, you're casually familiar with him, and nonetheless you will be able to identify who it is, berichut dalet amos. When he's four amos away, it was probably 6 to 8 feet. This is the time of Misha Yakir, of the Yakirenu. And this is Hamuskar L'Kamon, and is mentioned further on the Siman Nunches, in Siman Nunches of Shulchan Aruch L'Gabe Kriyashma, as far as Kriyashma is concerned. If you take a look in Beis Yosef, in the Beis Yosef, there in Siman Nunches, the Shem Harosh writes the Chad Shi'urahu, that the Misha Yakir Ben Cheles, Ben Chelas Lelovon and Mishiyake Chavero Berichu Dalet Amos of the exact same time is Ayin Shom Ubebeir Hagiro Beinyanegu. And go ahead and take a look in Beir Hagiro, where they will give you precise understanding of the fact that these are two convergent times. And we will see it on the charts which we will consult at the end of here. The Chein Nagin, you remember it said that if you put on your talis after Alos HaShachar, which is still not Misha Yakir, it's darker than Misha Yakir and earlier than Misha Yakir, nonetheless from Alos HaShachar, you can say a bracha. Ayin de Beir Hagiro. Please take a look in Beir Hagiro on Shulchan Aruch. Sheposa Kidas HaShulchan Aruch. We went ahead and said that the Shulchan Aruch, meaning the Mechaber, as opposed to the Ramah, is what is the dominant halacha here, that when do you say the bracha? Not from Alos HaShachar, but when you go ahead and you put on tzitzis at Misha Yakir time, which is a little later. Ubi Prima Godim, the gigantic perush on the perushim of Shulchan Aruch, Kasav, he writes as follows, Im Hasha'od Dechuka, if you are having duress, if it is a matter of duress, hamekel, someone who is lenient, lahaniach, me'alos hashachar, lahaniach means to put on, it means lahaniach tefillin, but when you're putting on tefillin, you're putting on your talis, ve'elech is ein goarimbo, you don't scream. Al kolponim, nonetheless, lechatchila bevadai nachol ma'od lahamtin milavarech, ad sheyakir ben tcheles lelavon. But obviously, l'chatchila, you should go ahead and take into consideration the needs of the Shulchan Aruch. And the needs of the Shulchan Aruch are for a later time than Alos HaShachar. If at all possible, you wait until at that point, that point in time has been reached, rather than do it as early as dawn, as Alos HaShachar. The Chayim Yeren, it seems also that this is Da'as for Edu Yor Rabba, another massive perish, a gigantic, gigantic, wonderful perish on Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. Ubidi Avad, but when you're under duress, Nira Da'afidu Im Berach Kodem Amud HaShachar, it would seem that even if you were to go ahead before Amud HaShachar and say the bracha, Lo Yachzor Vivarech, you don't go ahead and recite the bracha again because of this problem. The Shema Halacha Karash. Maybe the halacha is like the Rosh, that it isn't time that determines tzitzis and therefore the bracha. The Ksus Yom Balaila is Chayav. If you go ahead and wear a talis, which is a daytime baguette, and you're putting it on at night, you have to say a bracha, al mitzvah tzitzis. Okay? Now, this, by the way, you have to understand this last Rosh is something, especially in your case, Lon. When you wear a talis, and you're wearing it at night, according to the Rosh, you should say a bracha, right? Mm-hmm. Even though you're wearing it at night. The Rambam doesn't hold that. How can we skin the cat, so to speak, to make sure that even according to the Rosh, you don't need a bracha? And we do it one of two ways. The most preferable way is to go ahead and say that the chazan shouldn't wear his own talis, mm-hmm. which needs a bracha, but borrow someone else's talis.
Right.
You don't have to go ahead and make a bracha on someone else's talis. Not only do you do this in Myra's time, but Mincha is Bayom, so I have no problems.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can make a bracha. There's no reason why you can't make a bracha.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the situation by a Chazan Tzlichas. Chazan Tzlichas will always walk over to someone else, if he knows the halacha, and say, may I borrow your talis? Okay? This way, even according to the Rosh who holds that Ksus Yom that is worn at night time, at Laila time,
right.
is Chayav Bracha. This way there is absolutely no Bracha.
Would that include even like borrowing one of the shuls?
Oh. Sorry. Borrowing one of the shuls halachim is according to some Baalei Halacha, according to some Yifoshim, is a problem. You a member of the Kehillah?
Yeah.
And you have a personal stake in every single piece of the property of that Kehillah. You understand? Who owns the talis? The Kehillah owns the talis. It's yours. But on the other hand, are you the only one who owns the talis? Or is it a corporate kind of a venture? So your chaver who sits next to you also owns. All right? But those who want to be didactic in this issue, and realizing that Sofet Brachas L'Hakel is a massive kind of halacha, especially for the Rambam, when any time you say a bracha unnecessarily, it is a d'oraisa over here, will specifically ask for a 100% pure personal talis that belongs to someone else that he doesn't have a stake in. So, you know, you have Yesh HaMi'ismo either way. I know that when I wear a talis at night, I make sure to always go over and ask someone, and that doesn't mean ask. I mean, if someone's talis is on the bench and I know it's in his talis echo, then I know for sure rather than use one of the shoes colors. Alright, let's finish up. You remember, if you put on your talis slichas time before daytime and it's still not a time for bracha, then you can go ahead and your mashmesh bo, when the time comes, you can simply just touch the talis, touch the tzitzis, ratzalomah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, betzitzi yosav. You only have to touch the tzitzis, even though the talis is on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take it off entirely and do the act of lehisatayim about tzitzis mm-hmm. again. You don't have to do that. Now, let's stop here with but one thing that I promised, and that is to show you to show you something about the role of sexual union, the kedusha of sexual union, and its relationship to Shabbos. All right.
Reish
Pei in Hilcha Shabbos, in the third chelik of in the third chelik of Mishnah Berurah, is Daf Samach after page 118. If you take a look at the arrangement of the Shulchan Aruch, you will notice that he flips through the whole thing. He starts with Hilcha Shabbos in terms of what you can do on Erev Shabbos, then Hadlokas Haneros and all the dinim that are required there, the beginning of Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos, then he goes through Kiddush in Shul, Friday night's davening, and so on and so forth. He's doing it in a chronological development. By the time he reaches Reish Pei, he is Friday night. He's at Friday night after your meal and you're going to sleep. Whereupon he says, Tashmish Amita, sexual relations on Shabbos is a function mita anuge Shabbos, is a dinin onig Shabbos. Just like you have a list of other things in Onik Shabbos, Tashmishi Hamita is part of Onik Shabbos. Lefichach, and therefore, it is urgent that you understand that Onos Talmidei Chachomim Haberim Milel Shabbos Olel Shabbos. Talmud Chacham, who is well and has absolutely no sickness about him, builds this into Friday night, from Friday night to Friday night, builds this into his scheme of thought. Okay? Now, if you will take a look at the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom in Gimel, we just said Talmidei Chachomim from Friday night to Friday night. That is their preferred time of sexual relations. So he says Hainu specifically Levad Leil Tefila, obviously. When one's wife is going to the mikvah, I don't care what day it is, explains the Mishnah Berurah. It is urgent and important that Talmud Chacham frees himself for sexual relations at that time to observe the mitzvah midaraisa of onasa. Betzarich lehi zoher, and here is the very important kind of statement. Betzarich lehi zoher shekodim sheyagia halayla. One has to be incredibly careful that before night comes, one has to go ahead and show immense love, the ahava im ishto, and love towards one's wife. The ein tzarich lamar, and it surely is obvious, and I don't have to say, shelo yagil shum kitata be'erev Shabbos, that if there is ever a time to avoid family squabbles, what day of the week is it? And that's Friday. And this is the Bayis Chodosh, this is the Bach, who is the father-in-law of the Taz, and the Bach is a parish on tour. An incredible, incredible. And akosif hazeh omer elador sheni, what's going on here? Now, the only way you can understand it is through a Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva. If you haven't learned Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam, then you've got to open up a Rambam just to Perek Yud. Because the Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam, the last Perek of Hilchos Tshuva, is so fundamental to our understanding of our Derech Avodas Hashem in general, that to the extent that it has absolutely nothing to do with Tshuva. In Perek Yud of Tshuva, the Rambam sets down all that there is to say about the modes of worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodas Hashem. And he categorizes them, as we know, into two categories. One is Avodas Hashem Miyira, a certain kind of awe. We will call it fear, but Pachad is fear. But Yira is awe. And Avoda Me'ahava, Avodas Hashem out of love. And in Halacha Aleph, in that Rambam, he says a person does not reach his ultimate if he goes ahead and says, I am going to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyira, or for a sense of wanting a reward. I will do the mitzvahs so I can get the brachos. And implicit in that is, I will refuse to do the averos, or I will be afraid to do the averos because of the onesh that is concomitant with it. This isn't the proper way in Avodas Hashem. It's true, he says, Ameh Haaretz, the ignorant, and children have to be taught this way. You'll be a good boy, you'll get schar. You'll be a bad boy, you'll get your onesh. And he says, then he leads you to halacha base. He says that this is not the way to do it. The way to do it is avoda me'ahava, is a sense of love. This is what we mean by v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, when you say the pasuk v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha v'ahavta kamo Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu taught us that all of his life, the only kind of service unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a service of ahava. This is why he looms so large when it comes to the Akedah, because even with the Akedah, it wasn't a Yira kind of Nisoyo, it wasn't awe, it wasn't fear, it wasn't retribution that was on his mind, it was the kind of Korban that he was ready to give out of Ahava. And therefore, says the Ramban, this, when you say, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, what does it mean? V'ahavta kamo Avraham Avinu es Hashem Elokecha. How do you learn this love? And the Ramban in Halacha Beis, in Halacha Gimel, tells you how you learn the love. He says you learn it by reading Shir HaShirim. The Shir HaShirim in which Shlomo HaMelech speaks about Ki Cholas Ahava Oni. I'm not sick, I'm just in love. And what's my love? And it's my love sickness. And the entire Shir HaShirim is halohu moshol le'inyan zeh, is nothing more than a primer to be able to get you to understand what Ahavas Hashem is. Now, a primer gives you mesholim. And what is the moshol of love in Shir HaShirim? If not the love of sexual relation between lover and beloved, between man and wife, between husband and his chosen. That is an absolute essential to the understanding of the Avodas Hashem on Shabbos. And therefore, Tashmish Amita B'Shabbos, we have to put in a separate halacha together with Erev Shabbos and Chong and the Shabbos Goy and the Blech and Friday night Kiddush, and can you send your car to the mechanic on Erev Shabbos so a Goy can work on it? All of these practical, hardcore halachas must have, after the meal, must have a simon on Tashmish Amita B'Shabbos. Why? Because this is the derech in Avodas Hashem. If there is any time that you have to have Ahavas Hashem, it is the time of Shabbos, the Shabbos Kodesh, and if that's the case, you have to practice, as the Rambam says in Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva, you have to practice this Ahava as if, and he says it openly, She'ein da'ato tenuya, that your mind is not clear, me'avas oso ha'isha, from any kind of love feelings you have for that woman, v'hu shoget bo tamid, he is obsessed with it constantly, bein b'shifel b'kumo, whether you're sitting or you're standing, bein b'shoha shu ochel o shaseh, whether you're eating and drinking or not, v'hu, and this is the mashal of Shir HaShirim. Could I make my point? Now, what you have to do is you have a Rambam. Okay, you have a Rambam. It's in the first book. You have to read over Perek Yud and make sure you understand every single word. I make my students know if there is no other Rambam in the entire educational career that they meet me, there's this one Rambam that I teach them. Perek Yud.
One last question: the tour. The Shulchan Aruch follows the Torah in content and subject matter and pagination, so to speak.
Yeah, chapterization.
Chapterization.
Yes. Correct.
So that this sequence is followed by the Torah also, or was originated by the Torah.
Yes, yes. But you remember that there is a link missing between the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, which you have here.
The Beis Yosef.
That was the Beis Yosef. That was his perish on the Torah, updating it and giving it all the sources, a 20-year work that turned out to be more cumbersome and counterproductive as to what his original intent was. And his original intent was to take the tour and make it a practical day-to-day guide so that everyone understood in the 250 years or so that passed from the time of the tour till the time of the Shulchan Aruch, so that everyone understood the updated halacha, you know, the bottom line. So give all the sources that the Torah mentions, and then update all of the Rishonim from the Torah until the days of the author of the Shulchan Aruch, and you have a massive work called the Beis Yosef. So you have to go right back after 20 years to the drawing board and start all over again as a simple guide. So the Shulchan Aruch was the kitzur, was the condensation of the Torah dash Beis Yosef that he wrote.
How long did that take?
Ah, that was kind of easy. After 20 years, I don't know exactly how long it took it. But he does write somewhere where, look, that it took him well into the 20 years kind of a situation to go ahead and amass all of these sources. Oh, yeah. So that if you want to go ahead and see the continuum of any one halakha, you have to stop with the Torah, then see what's doing in the Beis Yosef, then go to the Shulchan Aruch, and mind you, the Mishnah Berurah is again nothing more than an anthology and a condensation. Let's go to the original Shulchan Aruch, let's see the Magen Avraham, and I'll show you the Prima Gadin, and then you can understand where all the sources are from the Mishnah Berurah.
When you opened this talk tonight, and you mentioned that the Shulchan Aruch went to the Rosh and to the Rambam and to the Rif.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems that he started with the tour.
Oh no, that's without question.
The tour went. Yeah.
Well, what I am saying is, on any given halacha. Now let's clarify this. On any given halacha, the Shulchan Aruch would always ask himself, okay, I have the Da'as HaRif and I have the Da'as HaRambam and the Da'as HaRosh. What happens if there is a machlokas between the three of them? Two say one way, another one says the other way. Well, I'll go according to the majority. What happens when I have a suffix? Okay? You see what happens here. So you have to play the game back and forth. You have to worry about a bracha. Mm-hmm. What happens when they are non-committal on a certain halacha? For whatever reason. Each one in his schema of thought didn't think that halacha has to be stated separately. Or it has to be stated within, subsumed under another halacha. So then he looked elsewhere.
By the way, so if two out of three said yes,
mm-hmm.
the Shulchan Aruch said
yes. Generally, I'm being very simplistic.
You didn't say that earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, if two out of the three said yes, he followed the majority.
I see.
Okay. And, but these are the three that, you know. But that does not in any way negate what he did in the Beis Yosef. In the Beis Yosef, he gave us and brought together all of the sources. That the Rif said this way, the Rambam held this way, and the Rosh held this way. And then here in Shulchan Aruch, he just simply came to the bottom line. You see.
Did Shulchan Aruch ever contradict the Rishas in a halacha? Was it inconsistent? It's possible the halacha could have changed in the 20 years also.
Well, the halacha didn't change. We do know. The question is a good one. We do know that the Rambam occasionally contradicts himself from a later work, the Yad HaChazaka, the Mishnah Torah, to earlier works in his parish on the Rambam, on the Mishnah. And we always follow the later work. What I'm thinking about is examples, and that I will have to research for you. Are there examples where he holds one way in the Beis Yosef and another way in the Shulchan Aruch? I'm going to tell you now, but this is open to change, that is probably consistent. Because the writing of what he does in the Shulchan Aruch is nothing more than a reworking of the Beis Yosef. Okay? So that if he reworked it in one, he should have reworked it in the other. As I say to you, I will research it for you and make sure that I am clear on this. When we meet next time in the session, I would like to see the source of the Rambam, in other words, the Gemara and the Rambam himself in the original. I would like to see the Rosh and how he derives it in the original and see if we cannot look at the piece of Yerushalmi. We'll do it photocopied wise.
On this ceiling, sure.
Because this halacha, this machlokas rather, between the Rosh and the Rambam is one of the classical machlokas that exists. Where do we take our weight from? Do we take it from Ur Isim Aso, or do we take it from the other pasuk that we saw? And without seeing it, it is just impossible to know. And we'll fill in a couple of other things to make this entire study complete. We'll have to do one more siman yet to give you some new halachic terminology, the next siman.
Okay. What sperm do you want us to bring?
Okay.